taking care of me and my two brothers. Instead, she took the opportunity to spend more time with us. When we arrived from school, she welcomed us with a big smile, hugs, and kisses. She helped us with our assignments, and best of all, she cooks and bakes our favorite food. Kahit na napapagod siya agad. Never complained, but always ready to give her love and affection to us, her children. I salute my mom for her ability to face the difficulties of life and to turn negative situations into positive. I feel sad of the suffering I caused my mom. I am sad to see her so tired from all our schedules or even when she pretends that she is not worried about money needed for my medicine or when I'm not feeling well. With my mom beside me, I am confident and courageous to face cancer and its treatment. I know mom will make things possible for me to survive. And with God's help, we can make it and be victorious by God's grace. She is strong to face a new journey with me. And I know till the end, together we fight cancer. Together we survive cancer. My mom is a single mom. She raised me and my two brothers alone. But even though our father wasn't there to raise us, we were raised with proper sense of pride and dignity. My mom is now a nurse. She passed the board exam. We were all happy. We didn't expect this to happen because she was not focusing on her studies. She was focusing on me and my two brothers. She is always absent on her review classes because of me. I was always sick at that time. Even on her duties and classes, she is always absent because she never took me for granted. My brothers and I is always my mom's priority. She's very smart in doing things and also wise in making decisions. Kaya believe talaga ako sa mami ko. I love my mom so much. I could not survive cancer had it not because of my mom's faith and unwavering hope in God that I survived cancer and that I survived leukemia. I pray that I can equally be courageous and strong like my mom and hope to follow her footsteps of faith.
Thank you. So that's what I call lessons from a 14-year-old. So that's lesson 14-year-old 101. Thank you, Denise. Okay? We're good? Okay. So Joyce C., are we ready to go? Ready. So I'd like to introduce to you and give the floor to Joy Moncopa Delgra.
Thank you. You're part of my adventure with cancer. Maayong hapon sa tanan. I'm scared. I'm also excited because this is the first time that I'm ever going to share the details of my travails with cancer. My experiences with cancer have always been kept in the hearts of a few friends, family, and other relatives. So I guess I have a very good excuse if I'm going to cry this afternoon. So your living is determined not so much by what life brings to you as by the attitude you bring to life, not so much by what happens to you as by the way your mind looks at what happens. Your pain is a breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Such beautiful words from Khalil Gibran. After my chemotherapy sessions, I journeyed back to where I came from, hoping to paint a picture of myself and the dreaded illness that made a total change in my life. The first thing that came to my mind was the conclusive statement that I would most often hear. Cancer is awful. It breaks everyone's heart. It did break my heart. I was looking at my daughter who was 2 years old then, and I felt so helpless. The illness scared me so badly that I was willing to invest the little money that my husband and I had to make it go away. The second thing that came to my mind was, cancer is painful. The chemotherapy sessions were terrible. I knew that the medicine was getting inside my body because of the excruciating pain I would feel in my lower abdomen. The pain would only stop when the session ended. I guess that experience was uniquely mine. I tried to ask myself, can there be something beautiful in this experience with breast cancer? I had so many apprehensions, my relationship, my career, and my role as a mother. I looked hard and prayed hard. I tried hard too. With much help from the universe, cancer gave me the opportunity to begin the best journey in my life, with God, with family, and friends. The most important thing that I did in my lifetime was to look inside of me and listen to what my body was saying. Why breast cancer? Why my right breast and not my left? I sought the help of a body and mind therapist to help me look for answers to my questions. I opened myself to healing. I joined Brahma Kumaris to learn the art of meditation. I enrolled in an art therapy class, hoping I would find something. I did not try everything, but I did many things. God must have been amused at all the things I was doing that he decided to give me a book that totally made a difference in my life, a book by Louise Hay. In my journey with Louise Hay, I realized the importance of forgiving those who have hurt me deeply, letting go of resentment, grief, frustration, and guilt as the critical steps towards healing. Transformation did not come easy. It took a lot of courage and humility to be able to deal with my own perceived pains and realities. I believe I did well. I still get angry, I still get emotional when my issues are not responded to, but I do not let these feelings reside in me anymore. I opened myself to various channels of healing, from the conventional to the holistic mode of treatment. I began to understand and appreciate the chakras in my body. Meditation helped me attain peace of mind and be conscious of my thoughts. I began to love and respect myself in the truest and most meaningful way. In return for my healing, I was tempted to promise God that I would devote myself in church activities. I did not. I know in my heart I would not be able to live up to that promise. There must be something I can do to share my healing with others. Now I know why I could not make that promise. I decided to go back to school to fulfill a plan which my illness put to a stall. I opened my own psychotherapy clinic, hoping that in my own little way, I can facilitate healing in people wounded by their own experiences. Each heavy step that comes to my clinic for help makes my heart leap. For I know that an opportunity is given to touch another person's life and be touched as well. I have been bolder in my adventures with family and friends. I was afraid of deep waters. I became a scuba diver. I was afraid of heights. I tried zip line. I was afraid I was too old to learn a sport. I have been playing tennis for the last 2 years. The year 2011 marks my 10th year as a breast cancer survivor. This time I might try biking. My experience with cancer may have scared the hell out of me. It emptied our passbook and pained me and my family in ways we have difficulty describing. But the grace that came with the illness became an overwhelming force that allowed me and my family to see each day a purposeful one. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Joy. See, you have a new name. Are we ready to go? Do you want a hug first? Do you want a hug first? Do you want a hug? Okay, give me a hug. So the next part is Nikki. She's Monique. She's Fe Monique Nikki Mushne. So she's not even started yet, and she's crying na. Wala pa. Ah, si Punyan. So I give the floor to Nikki, okay? Then the title of her, I put the title, took the liberty of putting the title.
Bagay.
The Babsoy and Mommy Show. Ta-da-da-dan!
My younger sister in Manila told me, pretend that you're giving class. Class ka dyan. So I have my ate who's over there. Kaway ka dyan, Chuy, part ka man ng ano, char. Oh, yan. Okay. And my other cousin is here, apparently documenting this because this is a first. Kansyaw nila sa akin, uy, mag-share na siya. Nya mo, hilak pa jud ka ana ron. Hilak jud ron. Okay, so, yun siya. So, here's our story. When the dean of college at the university where I teach asked to see me one day, I promptly showed up at her office and sat by her desk, watching her efficiently shuffle papers. She had only one question. Professor Musni, why aren't you attending the faculty retreat? When I told her, sister, I have better things to do with my time, she said, I'm requiring you to attend. You have grief written all over your face. I already paid for all of your fees for the retreat, blackmail ba? Attend or else. So I attended the retreat. Thank heaven, it was a silent retreat. You see, I'm not the type who sits in a circle and shares personal stuff with people. So I was thankful for that. Instead, our retreat master told us to talk to ourselves. Our facilitator told us to talk to God. Me, being me, I naturally resisted. I had nothing to say that he didn't know already after all. On the third day of our retreat, I found myself alone in the chapel. I just stared at the altar with no particular focus until I finally heard myself whisper. Ito na, iiyak na ako talaga. I asked you, remember? I asked you to heal her. I told you I'd forfeit everything you had to give me. I've never asked you for anything, ever. I asked you to save her, but you didn't. I remember I started to cry, as in really cry. I realized why I hated going on retreat, because I detested the word retreat. For the past 2 years before that, that word wasn't even in my vocabulary. It was always forward, fight, hold on, no surrender. My mom was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2000. She endured a mastectomy and chemotherapy, and she stayed clear for some time until in 2006. A bump on her head turned out to be another tumor. So my sisters and I immediately went into battle mode, fully knowing what lay ahead. For 4 months, we fought in high gear at Cardinal Santos Medical Center in Manila. We had linear accelerator treatment for her brain tumor, then more chemotherapy for the cancer, which had by then spread to her bones. Retreat was just not an option. I quickly learned the ropes of becoming a primary caregiver. The day Dr. Chambeng told us we had to stop chemo, she took me aside and asked if I wanted to talk to her some more. I politely refused, saying I had to attend to my mom. I brought my mom home in February 2007. My mom's reply to the bad news was, "Oh well, let's go home." My mom loved being home. Home was her safe place. Every morning she would announce, "The Babsoy and Mommy Show now signing on." The Babsoy and Mommy Show had lots of segments. We had our eating portion, where she would ask me to describe the food with as much detail as possible, so she could imagine the taste, since she said everything tasted like cardboard. There was our deal or no deal portion, for when I would haggle for the number of pills for her to take at a certain time, since there was just too many to take in one sitting. I would go, 6 pills and a scoop of ice cream, at which she would squeal, "Deal," fully knowing that there would be 8 more an hour later, which would go nicely with a popsicle. Then there was our guest portion, where she would see her daily visitors for an hour or two, or linger over lunch with one of her sisters before she would give me a look that was my cue to announce that it was her nap time. The afternoons were best. My favorite segment of the Babsoy and Mommy Show, our one-on-one portion. Every day she had a story to tell, the stories of our childhood and our family. The day would end at around 8 p.m., where I would tuck her into bed and she would ask, "Is everybody okay na?" And I would tell her not to worry about anything because we would see her through just like we did before. She would smile and thank me, remind me to call my sisters to give them an update, and she would finally announce the Babsoy and Mommy Show now signing off. After which, she would take her rosary and pray for Easter 2007, and we were all complete. She called us her dream team. Mom was completely bedridden by this time, but she continued to say she was feeling as well as ever. We checked her into the hospital the day after Easter when I noticed her abdomen was starting to swell. Doctora Abarquez took me and my sisters aside in the hospital and presented us with the need to decide on advance instructions. The words, "Do not resuscitate," went off like a loud bong in my head. I couldn't hear myself think. I broke down and lashed at my sisters for even considering that option. I even told my ate not to approach me with a DNR paper to sign, threatening I would surely tear it to shreds. A few days later, my mom went into the ICU. The Babsoy and Mommy Show continued, only this time it was my turn to tell the stories because they had put an intubation tube to help her breathe. I told her she had to get well because Lolo and Lola would be worried, that everyone was rooting for her, and that the ICU was temporary, at which she would nod her head. Sometimes I would walk into her gesturing with hands as if she were talking to someone I could not see, and she would be shaking her head. When I would ask her what she was doing, she would pat my hand and close her eyes. Things went from bad to worse, and then the bleeding. She no longer opened her eyes when I said, "The Mommy and Babsoy Show now signing off." My sisters and I rarely left her side at that point for fear that something might happen while we were gone. I whispered in prayer that I would never ask God for anything if he would just make her well again. One morning, I woke up to hear the sound of her voice. I heard it so clearly, I shot out of bed and ran all the way to the ICU. Upon seeing her that morning, it became clear to me what she was waiting for all along. She was waiting for me to say, "Everybody's okay na, ma'am. It's okay for you to go." So I told her that I understood what she wanted me to do, asking to give me until the end of the day to get everything ready. I told my sisters what had happened, and they both had had similar experiences that morning. The three of us agreed we need to get everything ready,
explain to our family that we need to tell mom it was okay, especially our dad. I asked Doctora Abarquez to make sure my mom was comfortable and finally asked to sign a DNR instruction on her chart. My sisters and I all signed the DNR, then went our separate ways to do our specific assignments. When we called her insurance agent, he told us that mom had a memorial plan and a burial plan, all paid up in a file with explicit instructions on what to do in the event of her death. Everything was ready, including the thank you cards. She had even specified the number of days for her wake, where she wanted to be buried, everything. As the days progressed, as that day progressed, my sisters and I discovered that our mom had prepared for everything already. She was just waiting for all of us to come to terms with the fact that she was going. As agreed upon, my sisters and I again convened at 5 p.m. We bathed and dressed, told all of our relatives to go home and rest, and we joined our dad in the ICU to keep vigil by her side. We sat by her bed and talked to mom about our plans for the future. We promised to choose our lifetime partners well, to take care of each other, look after Lolo, and make sure that the family stayed close. We said she could put on her wings now and fly as fast as she could to Jesus. We told her it was okay to go. Then my dad started to tell us about how they met, how my mom chose him in spite of his being rough around the edges and being baduy beyond help, at which we all promptly burst into laughter. My younger sister looked up and gave me a nudge. My mom's heart monitor had flatlined. My mom became an angel on that day, April 24, 2007. At exactly 11:52, after she made sure that we were all okay with her passing. During her memorial tribute, we gave her a standing ovation for the amazing person she was and an extraordinary life she had lived. We buried her at sunset, just as she had instructed, while her friend played Amazing Grace on his saxophone. Of course, my experience during the faculty retreat made me realize I still wasn't completely okay even after my mom died. I wasn't even aware I had this tampo with God because he did not grant me my prayer. But as I sat there in the chapel, I realized I was wrong to think that. I had asked for her to be healed, and that's exactly what God had done. My mom was healed. With that thought, I felt such a sense of relief. I felt myself heal completely. And beside the cross in that chapel was the word kairos. It's a Greek word that means the right moment, the appointed time in the purpose of God. I saw the moments of the past year go through my mind, and I understood that God had not cursed my mom when she got cancer. Instead, she was given the grace to put her affairs in order, to teach me and my sisters fortitude of spirit. I still cry, obviously, about what happened with my mom, and I miss her every day. I have a picture in my mind of her looking down on all of us, sitting on a cloud with her toes dangling. My dad, which is another story altogether, has joined her since then, so I'm sure they're having a blast up there. I make sure to tell her every day, everything's fine, Mom, we're all fine. So that's our story. Thank you for listening.
We're short of time, so we're just doing one letter. There's supposed to be two more articles, And we're talking to a daughter who has a mom, and a mom who is a patient, and a daughter talking to her mom, who's not here but looking on us on a cloud with her dad. So I will end with this letter. This letter is for Mrs. Beatrice Lebron. Are you here? Mom is a survivor. 21 years? 24 years. Okay. So this is letter to Mama from Angel. Dear Mama, God is indeed a God of surprises. I can't wait for October when you will come here to Korea and we can be together again. The expectation is doubled because last month we got the false alarm of a recurring tumor after 24 years of remission. I was inconsolable. I only wanted to be at your side. It seemed like I could not forgive myself to let you go without me taking care of you, just even for once. It was 1987 and I was a first year novice in convent. I can still vividly recall that brief long distance call where you candidly and calmly told me, "Jel, I have breast cancer." After a brief silence, you tried to console me, saying, "Don't worry, I am okay." And you even joked, "Wantoy na lang ako." After our conversation, various thoughts flooded my mind. Shall I leave the convent and take care of Mama? Why am I here in Manila and she in Davao? In my heart, I tried to listen again and again to that reassuring voice of yours. And now looking back, perhaps it was the candor and hearing it personally from you that made it easier for me to accept your illness. I was fortunate that after a year, I could go home for my first vacation. You were done with all your treatment, but you were still sick. You must have seen my worried face that even before I could say a word, you held my hand and told me, "Don't think of leaving the convent. You have your own life to live. We can manage." You were feeling with me the helplessness of an only daughter wanting to be with her sick mother. Again, it was you consoling me instead of me cheering you up. You being a woman of strength had shown forth again when after a year that you were diagnosed, Papa had his first stroke. I like to believe that separation anxiety had eaten him up. You were best friends forever. With Papa's partial paralysis, you had forgotten your illness and you selflessly decided to be well for him. The next 16 years could attest how you have loved and cared for Papa. Letters and phone calls continued to come from you with news about how you were living with cancer. No, they were not stories that would draw pity or stir up guilt in me, but they were accounts of how positive living was helping you get better. It was edifying to know that you were visiting fellow cancer patients, some neglected by their families, and you would give them a bath or simply just sharing the gift of presence. You were attending support groups, and even in informal gatherings, you openly shared about the healing power of positive thoughts. Did you really go through what many cancer patients experienced? Of course, you did. For one, you gave up your love for glamour clothes and shifted to the very comfortable ones, light and simple. You used to enjoy good food, but instead developed the taste for ampalaya juice, You did not want to talk about your chemotherapy sessions because it was like reliving a harrowing experience. Life was not easy. But what struck me was you did not allow cancer to bring an end to many things, but instead, you allowed more beginnings in your life. To ward off boredom, you started growing orchids. Selling orchids sustained your financial needs, and your membership in Davao Blooms expanded an already extensive social contact. I remember with what enthusiasm and creativity your Kadayawan preparations. You have always been blessed with a strong faith in God, and your cancer support group have been a venue for a lively sharing of God experiences, both giving and receiving among people living with cancer. You even sold insurance for cancer after with Caritas, where many times you were the top notcher. This must have been difficult to think that for many years you were just at home caring for us, your family. Finally, because you had a soft spot in your heart for the poor, you have never closed the door to anyone who had come for help. Dear Mama, in the past 24 years, God had been a blessing, has been blessing you overflowing and full measure. You generously lived your life, and God showed that He cannot be outdone in generosity. Many people were with you, with us during your illness. It is from your selflessness and generosity that so many patients where I draw strength and inspiration. My big pain and sacrifice is not being able to take care of you was healed by God sending me patients to look after here in Korea. At the moment, I am accompanying a 27-year-old Filipina married to a Korean who has stage 3 breast cancer. I am her family here, caregiver, interpreter, nanay, counselor, solicitor for funds for her medical treatment, etc. So far, she has been responding well to chemotherapy. You know very well that for 3 years, from 2006 to 2009, I was taking care and living in a shelter with 15 Korean men living with HIV or full-blown AIDS. And during that time, I have witnessed how loving support could help overcome the fight for stage 3 cancer of Burkitt's lymphoma of an AIDS patient. Again, for this man, I was his family and friend throughout his treatment. I was told that the prognosis was poor, and the doctor even asked me why I was giving my all for this patient. My simple reply was, because it is one life from God. Later in my presence, 3 other consultants asked that oncologist why he is not giving up that case, and he just replied, we just can't give up on him. After 8 chemotherapy sessions, my patient is still alive, and he is not receiving treatment anymore. He has AIDS, and his cure from cancer is almost like a miracle. Dear Mama, did it ever occur to you how painful it must be for me to take care of many sick people and yet not be able to be with my parents in their sickness? I know you do. That is why you have told me during the early years of your cancer that I have my life to live, so I should not worry about you. You are truly brave and selfless to say that. I am now 15 years here in Korea as a missionary, and God fills in the empty space that I have left in our family through caring family members, your faithful friends, and generous doctors. I could only stand in awe and gratitude of God to you and all the people around you. Last year, in June 2011, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. I broke down the news to you personally. But unlike you, I was crying. And you only laughed and said, ay nako, minana mo yan lahat sa akin. Yes, Mama, I will take after you the courage to face all trials with unwavering faith and services to others. Having 3 cyst excisions and now living with 11 cysts in both breasts, I promise that I will not skip my every 6 months check for breast cancer. For you remind me, early detection is still the best. And if I may add, early detection is the blessing that comes our way, goes a long way. Thank you and take care. Ma, I love you. God bless. Affectionately, Angel. So that is the last I will read. And maybe if you have anything to share or what, Maritoni, thank you.
Thank you, Doctora. Grabe. Iyak to death. Grabe ka, can I hug you?
Grabe yung strength niya, no? Kakaloka, lahat kayo. Your strength is so encouraging and amazing. I'm really, really honored. So, ayokong umiyak. Ano ba to? Anyway, like the 3 of you, many women here have their own stories to tell. But before, like what I said before we started on this, what do you call it, this portion, na every time you tell your story, it heals many people, but it also heals yourself. So let me encourage you to keep sharing your stories. And little girl, I will pray for you. You're an amazing human being. Grabe. At saka, pagdasal mo si Mama, lagi. She's a strong woman. You know, I'm a mother myself. I have a 16-year-old. Kaya sobra ako na-touch sa'yo. I have a 16-year-old daughter who was, when I was diagnosed, she was only 6. So, the strength of our children talagang really holds us up. Tayo yung nagkasakit, pero sa kanila nang gagaling yung lakas natin. Diba? Ay, nako. Ayoko na. Sige na, wrap up na to. Hindi, thank you ulit sa lahat, sa inyo. Thank you so much for sharing and for, you know, when you share, kasi it's like giving a part of yourself. And it's not easy to do that. So I really admire these women. Doctora, thank you for bringing them and for allowing them to share their testimonies. Thank you for sharing talaga. Grabe, ayoko na. Taranta na ako. Hindi ko na alam ang sinasabi ko. Sandali, breathe lang. Poise, o, diba? Anyway. I think that wraps up our portion for the storytelling today. Let me encourage you all by saying that the more you share, the more you will yourselves be healed. So, go out there and share your story. At kahit sa umpisa iyak kayo ng iyak, habang sinasabi nyo yung storya nyo, in time you will discover that the more you share, the less you will cry. And the more you will encourage and give hope. So, that's all I have to say. Thank you so much. God bless you all and keep up the good fight. Thank you. Thank you so much.